What up, y'all? This is The Leetness bringing you the Frosty Pints podcast for the Gunslingers. Woohoo! I'm joined by Dr. Niggle.
Hello.
Gobi42.
Dead air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Omega Construct.
Yep.
And the birthday Billy Boy Zero.
Happy birthday, Zero. Zero is AFK.
Yeah.
We're Thank you, have to friends.
It's a day's Frosty Pines podcast. We have the following topics.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
It was way better than the first. It was way better than the first time he tried it.
Yeah, no, that's great. We're started. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Gobi. Yeah, Gobi. You want to? How do you want to do this, Gobi? Do you want to just do it again, or do you want to keep going?
Yeah, we're gonna restart.
All right.
Lame.
I'm slightly offended that we're gonna lose that particular take.
Okay. All right.
I mean, let's pick it up here. Come on, let's go. We're rolling.
All right. Wait. Oh, hey, I haven't counted anybody down. What do you mean we're rolling? I'm not ready. I know, right?
Say your stuff. Do it.
Just do it. We'll do it. We'll do it for you.
Do it live.
All right. All right. Ready?
Ready.
Three. Out. Three, two, one. What up, y'all? Welcome to the Gunslinger Gaming Frosty Pines podcast. I'm Gobi, and with me tonight is the birthday boy Zero, Burn 75. And of course, Dr. Nagel, Omega Construct, and the Leetness.
I like Leetness' intro better.
Yeah, fuck Leetness.
Better too.
Too busy talking about his sausage.
That's
and
okay.
Not enough gaming.
That's okay. So, we'll edit it in post.
Yeah.
What did you do for your birthday, man?
There's no post.
I really don't want to talk about what I've done for my birthday. Let's just move forward.
Moving forward to, Star Wars.
We can skip over that and go straight to the Gunslinger Gaming anniversary. Gunslinger's anniversary. 13th anniversary this year. Lucky 13, everybody.
Whoop whoop. Fucking right. Lucky number 13.
Means Leetness is going to be giving away a lot of video games this year.
You heard it first. Yes.
Did I say Leetness? I meant Gobi. Because Gobi's making more money than all of us.
I doubt that. I also have four kids, so I also have more mouths to feed than y'all.
Leetness bought a piece of steak that was 925. That's not unreasonable. What the fuck?
What's
this picture that you sent us?
That's lamb. That's not steak. That's lamb on the left. The ones on the right were the Wagyu.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leetness got 3.5-pound patties of Wagyu steak. American Wagyu.
Delicious.
I don't know, man. It's got to be Japanese Wagyu, man, or Australian Wagyu.
I don't know why I brought this up. You know, I just like looking at meat.
I was flexing on my Daigle's Cajun sauce there, but.
And this is what the pre-show is all about, guys. If you're curious, this is what they talked about for the last 20 minutes was. Leetness is meat.
It was 10 minutes tops.
While we were waiting for you to get here, late for the podcast.
Late for the birthday podcast.
Yeah, well,
I know, I'm slightly offended.
For the first time in a really long time, I got to do some personal work, and I've been working on my mod for Dying Light, and I kind of got lost track of time doing some testing. It's getting closer, so I'm happy with that. And yeah, it's been taking too long. But yeah. So, Star Wars, IGN, or Nintendo fucking up again?
Well,
yeah,
how did how did Nintendo done gone and fucked up?
Well, I think this was a previous one. Apparently, no. Back they reported a bunch of accounts were hacked, and then there was actually another 140,000 accounts were possibly breached. Nice. on top of the ones that they already said had been hacked.
Yeah, the ones that we already talked about on a previous podcast.
Oof. Yeah.
But they also state that it's likely related to people that upgraded from 3DS to Switch. So if you didn't have that, there's a chance that you weren't compromised. If you went straight to a Switch, say, and you didn't have a prior account that you upgraded from, then it's unlikely that you got hacked. But they're still suggesting you change your passwords anyway. And yet, two-factor authentication.
Yeah, I made sure I told the one guy I know that owns a Switch to change his password. He's a kid, so they don't always pay attention to the news.
And this is why parents need to be involved in their children's gaming habits, or at least aware.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
Life lessons, kids. Make sure your parents are involved in your gaming.
No, this is more life lessons for parents.
All right. In his defense, he is like a stepson that I don't have custody of, so I
fuck
am.
Him.
Well, he's not.
That's a bit harsh.
He's my oldest daughter's brother. Okay, so it's one of those things. When I got her, I kind of just took him in too, because he never had a father figure, so.
Yeah, just lock him in the shed, throw him some raw meat every couple of days. He'll be fine.
Yeah, throw the Wii.
And this is why you are not a parent.
I don't know, you're the one who's like, oh, he's kind of not my kid, and like, I don't really care about him. And I don't.
No, I do. I love the kid. I mean, I buy him headphones and I buy him gaming stuff all the time, but he's not my kid.
Yeah, I buy him stuff so he doesn't bother me.
No, I don't even.
So a total of around 300,000 accounts may have been breached at this point. Nintendo said in an update that it's less than 1% of all Nintendo Network ID users, but still 300,000 people out there, potential account breaches. Again, the data that they have access to is usernames, passwords, emails. I don't think that they... In Nintendo's original statement, they said they don't have... the breaches don't include, like, financial information if you have... however you deal with financial information through the Nintendo ID network.
Yeah, this is kind of tangential, but it brings up another topic that we have been over before, and it gets a little scary when you have so much of your information with so many different companies, because that's so many different avenues for people to get your information. And it, you know, came up when, you know, there was the whole, when Epic launched their store, and, you know, people were saying, I don't want another launcher, and now there's the GOG launcher, just so many different places. It's something that people really got to keep on top of. And it's getting easier and easier for your information to get taken, because it's just being dispersed through so many different places.
Well, that's why I've only when I bought my PC, it's pretty much why I've only put two downloaders, I believe, on my desktop. It's just, I don't feel safe putting that many open access points on my computer.
Well, as my company basically says, you know, to everyone, it's not a matter of if you'll get hacked, it's when.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe in any of that, which is why I have all of my credit card information plugged into Steam and GOG and Origin and Uplay and Blizzard, Battle.net. And the email address that I have linked to all of those has an 8-character password, because Google will not let you make a password that's smaller than 8 characters. But to keep it simple, I used the number 1. But I can't. That's not telling you what my password is, because I put the ones in different orders, so you don't know the order of the ones. You just know that there are 8 of them.
Mm-hmm. Sounds legit.
And I've never been hacked.
I was going to say, is it password?
So writing all this down, got it.
Oh, wait, I need to give you the CCV. Yeah, the CCV number off the back of my card.
Ah, good point.
Google, you forgot Google the email address.
It's actually the email address. It's the best CCV number ever. It's 696.
Nice.
So I just tell people it's 6969.
I wonder if they ever give out 666.
I bet maybe.
It's the devil's number. Actually, I think I did have a card that had that once.
Linus is Satan, confirmed.
Mm-hmm. And then I also had one that had 187 once. Which is basically murder.
Murder, death, kill, man. Gotta be careful with that.
Isn't 187 actually the code that some police used for murder?
All police, yes. Yeah. That is the radio dispatch code for murder. It is also used as the code for murder, death, kill in the movie Demolition, is it Demolition Man?
He doesn't know how to use the seashells.
I still want to know how to use the seashells.
You take two of the seashells and form them into a sort of a clamp, and you use it to pull the turd out of your ass. Then you use the third seashell to scrape the remains.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds wildly uncomfortable. Got it.
The future is more about efficiency.
What about my pals?
They were just preparing us for COVID when all the toilet paper disappeared.
I mean, that is a valid statement.
The clamshells are reusable.
Oh, God.
I bet they get really stinky.
Understatement. Understatement of the year.
Has anyone ever been to a European country where they have the poop shelf?
I have never been to a European country, period.
A poop shelf? What do you mean?
Yeah, I've never been to Europe, but I have used a poop shelf toilet.
Go to Germany especially, or no, actually Germany
like
is probably
in a long
where
drop?
I found the most of them. Yeah, well, no, it's like a toilet. It's a regular toilet, but when you sit down, your poop goes onto it. Instead of going into the water like it does in a wholesome American toilet, the poop goes onto a shelf. It doesn't go in the water.
Like the drain part, like the part that actually goes down is towards the front of the toilet, but towards the back, there's like a porcelain ledge. So when you sit and crap, your crap lands on the ledge.
Oh, yes. No, I have seen that.
It rinses down into the hole. And I just, like, why?
I don't understand. The history of it is apparently so that people could examine their feces for, I don't know, crabs or whatever it is that grows in your poop when you're not healthy. But there's no point anymore. There's really no point to that.
Bad that smells because like
it does smells fucking awful. The reason that it goes in water is because water stops odor.
Yeah, it entraps the it encapsulates it. Now you just got literally just a turd sitting there, and oh god, it must smell awful.
Well, it's still good to inspect your turd because then you can see what your deficit in your diet is. You see, that's what the Germans are thinking.
But like, I got no problem looking at my turd when it's floating.
Yeah, same deal. I have no issues examining my turd in a bowl of water. It doesn't need to be on a shelf.
But it's cocooned in toilet paper, so it's hard to examine.
Do you wrap your turds? Do you pull out a sheet and then as you crap, you just lay it out and then roll it up?
Well,
in there?
You throw the toilet paper into the bowl after you shit, before you shit.
No, actually.
So, speaking of giant turds, the PS5 is apparently a fat ass.
We're not done with this. Leetness actually authored a book last year called The Art of Turd Mummification, and the right way to do it is as it's coming out.
Oh, God.
I was concerned about not being entertained. I was sorely wrong.
The other thing, as long as we're ranting about this, or I am at least, because I'm the most important person in the world, the other thing that drives me nuts is when you have the sign on the bathroom that says, please do not flush tissue paper.
And ooh, I hate that.
Yeah, they have like a separate little trash can right by the toilet for you to put your shitty tissue paper into.
That's gross.
That is disgusting.
But that's third world plumbing, because there are places where even just toilet paper will destroy their plumbing.
And that is a valid point. I bet it does exist in third world countries, but I'm drawing all of this off of trips that I took to Europe. And by now, I know it's plumbing from like the 1800s, but by now they've had so much time to upgrade it. Come on, I'm not flushing my toilet paper.
Yep. Fuck that. It's disgusting. It's pretty gross.
I'm glad that we had this talk. I feel a lot better. I hope everybody feels a lot better, too.
I feel better.
This is more entertaining than talking about Nintendo accounts getting hacked.
It's true. I mean, they're both shitty.
Hell!
Okay, so PS5 is a fat ass, you said.
Yes. Apparently PS5 is a fat ass. Anybody want to talk about it?
We had Xbox sex news to talk about, so I figured I'd throw some PS5 up there to talk about as well. But the PS5 news is negative. It is, well, negative. Whatever. It's whatever the fuck. The PS5 is the largest game console in decades, and there's a picture here comparing the PS5 to all the PlayStations since PS3. So the PS4 Pro, the PS4, the PS3, the PS3 Slim, and the Xbox X, the Xbox One X, the Xbox One, Xbox 360, and Xbox 360 Slim. PS5 is huge.
It looks like a giant router.
I mean, in comparison to an Xbox One X, which is fucking huge, because I've got one, that's big.
Yeah.
But it's somewhat slim, though. Like, the Xbox X looks like it's just a giant fucking brick.
It looks like a PC.
The shape is so uninspiring and unimaginative. It's like, yep, here's this block. It looks like a fucking mini fridge. It looks like a little black mini fridge.
It looks like a PC. I mean, basically, like a little PC tower.
Yeah, one looks like a Linksys router from a couple of years back.
It was funny. My sister actually, when they released what it looked like, she sent me a picture of somebody had taken Kaiba from Yu-Gi-Oh's head and put it on top of it. If anybody has ever seen that, it was actually quite hilarious, and I did actually get a good chuckle out of it.
I mean, the PS5 to me looks like a floor fan, like a Dyson fan or something.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, I was trying to remember what the computer's name was. It was the Next. And this is a real throwback. If anybody remembers when Steve Jobs was between jobs, which isn't supposed to be funny, but I guess that's a play on words. He created a computer that was designed for universities, and it was called the Next. And it was a cube. It was basically a box. And the thing about it was engineered so that it wasn't a perfect cube. It was actually slightly shorter and narrower on one side because it was an optical illusion, so when people were looking at it, it actually looked like a cube. Apparently, when you look at a cube, it doesn't actually look like a cube. It looks disfigured. So they engineered it to be slightly less perfect than a cube so that it would look like a cube. That's what the Xbox X looks like. Only it's a box instead of a cube.
Yeah. It does kind of look like that, actually.
Anyway,
maybe it comes with a CRT monitor, too.
It does?
No, I'm joking.
That'd be an amazing coincidence.
You could put a monitor on it.
Anyway, the Next failed horribly because it cost $13,000 and universities didn't want to buy it. So that's how that ended.
Bummer.
No, it's fine. It was a massive excuse for Steve Jobs to come up with an operating system so that Apple would hire him back, and it worked. So yeah, PS5 is big.
Large.
If you're an old school office worker and you have those things on your desk that are like file separators that are just like places where you put papers to divide them up while they're standing up on your desk, it looks like somebody crammed a Wii into one of those.
It's true! Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward looking.
I'm sure it'll be a big hit with kids.
So what is this light bulbs are eavesdropping on you? And I mean, Alexa was pretty bad, so now our light bulbs are eavesdropping on us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, rational people have known this for years, that our various household appliances are constantly spying on us in an effort to create Skynet and murder the entire human race. But we have some confirmation this week, because some eggheads discovered how to measure vibrations. Okay, so when you speak, you have voice waves. Voice waves are vibrations. Apparently, tungsten in light bulbs can pick up the vibrations of your voice, and if you aim a telescope from a mile away at a light bulb, and you hook up an electronic oscillator or something, there's the device, and you hook it up to the whatever telescope, you can measure vibrations in tungsten light bulbs and recreate speech from anyone who's in the room. So no more listening devices required. It's just a neat science project that somebody came up with.
Well, it's really interesting, because I heard something similar a few years back using lasers against window panes. So if
vibration.
Like, a window would vibrate, and then by reading the oscillation in a laser aimed at the window, they could do the same thing. Because, I mean, if you know anything about how electric instruments work, like electric guitars or even a microphone works, it just converts sound waves into electrical waves and then back into sound waves, and it's literally a one-to-one conversion. So it's using the same basic thought process to, instead of using like an electrical pickup or the diaphragm in a microphone, you use a window, or now they figured out how to use a light source,
a filament.
Fucking incredible. Yeah, so they don't need to bug your place anymore. They just gotta have access to a window.
and a pair of binoculars and whatever this... I don't have the article up in front of me.
Lamp phone.
Privacy is dead.
That's fun.
Also, as a note, the pigeons are a member of the bourgeoisie. Bourgeois. Just saying.
Really?
I mean, no, not really. I'm regurgitating shit that I've heard.
Go with it. Own it, Zero. Go 150% on all the bizarre shit. That's what I do. That's what I do all the time. Electro-optical sensor, there you go, to record light variations in the light bulb from large distances.
25 meters.
The test, yeah, this particular test was carried out 82 feet away. Meters. Fucking Europeans. 82 feet away from the victim's room. So these people were out in the middle of a courtyard, aiming a telescope in through this person's window.
I wonder what else they were looking at.
That tracks.
All right, there you go. So that's PS5. Light bulbs are spying on us. We skipped over Star Wars. Nintendo done fucked up. Oh, the Xbox X Series. Yeah, does anyone want to talk about whatever this is called?
The smart delivery system?
Smart delivery system, yes.
Yeah. So Xbox One Sex is going to have a smart delivery system.
Excellent. Moving on. what's the point of the smart delivery system, Linus?
It's so that they can deliver stuff to you smartly.
Does anyone else want to pick this up?
I can't. I just can't. I can't even. I'm done.
So apparently it's going to launch and allow you to automatically upgrade games to the latest version that is on the new platform or something like that from your older versions.
It seems like instead of backwards compatibility, it's effectively forwards compatibility. Like if you buy a game on Xbox One, when you upgrade to Xbox Series X, then you can effectively re-download the game, the version of the game for that platform.
The remastered Xbox One X. I mean, well, whatever sex version.
Meanwhile, Sony's out here, Rockstar's out here pushing GTA 5 for next-gen consoles. It's on its, like, third generation of fucking consoles, selling it over and over and over again.
But there's new content!
Whoopee.
In the storyline, so, yeah, no one gives a shit about that. But apparently they're also introducing new events for online as well. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure everyone's going to get that.
Yeah, there is actually a list of confirmed titles with smart delivery features, and they include Halo Infinite, Cyberpunk 2077, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Destiny 2, and I think those are the biggest titles. Oh, Gears 5. And Metal Gear. Hellslinger, excuse me, specifically. So yeah, there are a bunch of titles that are confirmed for it, but this is not a comprehensive list. There will be more, according to Microsoft.
And when did corporates lie to us?
When has Microsoft lied? I'm not sure if anybody read this in the news, but there was actually a DMCA takedown for someone who had created an extended application that you downloaded and you ran on a legitimate Windows system that would remove core Microsoft features that were designed to spy on you or were just completely useless, and they put it up on GitHub, and Microsoft DMCA'd the entire repo and were like, no, this is violation of our TOS, we don't want people using this. And the guy was like, fuck you, it's got no Microsoft source code in it. But I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty insane. I guess they wouldn't... Well, you know what it is? It's because Microsoft was releasing part of... was it Windows? Was Windows 7 or something that went open source?
It could have been. The official support for it, I believe, has been dropped at this point.
I can't remember. There was... It was a while back, but I know that there was a big deal was that they released part of the OS source code. I mean, they've done that for a while now with the .NET framework, but they were also looking at doing that for the OS, which is the first time they would have done that. So that's potentially how he found out about something like that.
This was specifically for Windows 10, but I do think that Microsoft shares source code across projects. I just don't know what they would have put in 10 that was from 7. All I know is they completely abandoned 8, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that didn't exist. It's like Windows ME. What?
We don't know what you're talking about.
Somehow, never heard of it.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Did anyone actually use Windows Millennium Edition?
I did.
The computers at my middle school had ME on them for a very short period of time.
I've had every single version of Microsoft Windows.
Can you tell me the difference between 98 and ME?
Not much of a difference, actually.
I think there's like, it was basically like, what do they call them? A service pack back in the day? It was basically like a service pack for Windows 98.
Yeah, I mean, there were some new features to it and like some styling adjustments that they had done on the overall like look and feel of Windows, but it was pretty much Windows 98 service pack. But Windows 98 was better and more stable.
And it ran on 256 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah.
Megabytes
back
of
in the
RAM.
Day.
Is right. there even a computer sold with less than 2 gigs now?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think you can get some shitty ass, like, Celeron, like crappy tablets that probably have 1 gig.
That's not a PC, though. That's a tablet.
Yeah, but it runs the Windows. It still runs Windows or Chromebook or something like that.
There's got to be a market for this somewhere, like someone that just builds and sells vintage antique PCs that run 95 or 98 or even, you know, back in the DOS period.
We'll just do a VM. Easy.
Oh, come on. That's no fun.
I still got an XP VM.
Do you have to framegate application? Do you play games on it at all? And if you do, do you have to framegate them so that they don't play at like 1,000 frames per second?
It's 100% for development. That's the only thing I use it for. Is I have some really old source code written in VB5 and VB6 that hasn't been ported to .NET yet. And there's no fucking way I'm going to try and get VB5 and VB6 to run on Windows 10.
That would be a challenge. That sounds amazingly fun.
Huh?
Be a hobby.
That would be amazingly fun. You should really try it.
I mean, I actually pretty much do use Windows 10 to write source code for VB5 apps, except I use Visual Studio Code and I can't run the app. And I basically, it's just a text editor and I modify the code and then copy and paste it into the VBM on the XP box and run it from there and compile it from there because it's so fucking slow that I can't deal.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know the pain.
Yep. My ears are bleeding. Can I just say that? They're like profusely bleeding.
Oh, go for it.
Okay. Did you want to talk about Star Wars? I mean, that should make them bleed less, right?
No, more. No, let's not.
Star Wars. Squadrons.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Star Wars.
This reminds me of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. No, what was the other one though? Rogue Squadron. Like that's Rogue
Squadron was the greatest
Rogue Squadron game. I mean it was. We played a lot of that back in the day. But that wasn't first person. It was all third person, wasn't it? Did it have a first person option?
It had a first person mode. You could switch cameras.
Okay. This one, there's a new Star Wars game, Star Wars Squadrons, which is a first-person space combat game that will have players flying the series' famous starfighters in a head-to-head single-player and multiplayer battle and battles. So, it's a first-person shooter, which is why I said Rebel Assault. That was the first time that I played a Star Wars flight simulator, and it was all, like, first-person.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting is the fact that it is, from the looks of it, it's head-to-head single-player and multiplayer battles. Like, so what does head-to-head single-player mean? Is there going to be a story mode? Is there going to be a like campaign mode, or is it like so? Yeah, what the fuck does that mean? But one thing that is kind of cool is that they have said. They have promised that everything customizable in-game from cosmetics and whatnot, both in terms of gameplay altering things like different weapons, hulls, engines, and shields, through cosmetics of cockpit, ship, pilot appearance, it's all going to be earned solely through gameplay.
We have heard that before, though.
Yeah, we have.
We should also mention it does have cross-platform support with multiplayer supported between players on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. It'll also be compatible with VR headsets on PC and PlayStation 4.
Yeah, VR is really picking up. No, it's not.
Ooh. Let me get right on that bandwagon.
It does say it will have a single-player campaign set after the Battle of Endor. Which will put players in the shoes of pilots from both the New Republic's Vanguard Squadron and the Galactic Empire's Titan Squadron. So, the first paragraph of this article is stupid. But, yes, so there is a campaign mode.
To be released on October 2nd for $40. $40 daru. And EA has yet to announce whether it will be offering a next-gen version of Squadrons for the upcoming PS5 and Xbox Series this fall.
I feel like if I was going to play that, I'd rather just play Everspace, and then they've got Everspace 2 coming out soon.
But Everspace isn't Star Wars.
But it's a better dogfighting platform, I bet you.
I'd believe you.
Anyway, I mean, that's got excellent reviews. It's well reviewed.
It's been out forever, though, too.
Yeah,
it's cheap.
Yeah, so it's cheap, and they've got a new version coming out soon. It was just announced in the Summer of Games event going on.
Not going to lie, if this game is good, Star Wars Squadrons, I will probably get it, because I did love Rogue Squadron back in the day. And if this could somehow be like a sort of spiritual successor to that, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I have a practical question at this point. I'd like to know why they're called S-foils.
S-foils?
The S-foils. The famous line from Star Wars A New Hope, lock S-foils in attack position.
Yep, that's the name of the X-Wing's wings.
But why are they S-foils?
Because they're not X-foils?
Really?
Your logic is flawless.
So apparently it stands for strike foils, according to StarWars.fandom.com. S-foils, also known as strike foils, were movable wings attached to a X-Wing starfighter, sometimes equipped with weaponry. They were locked in a cross position in a normal fight, but when engaged in combat, the foils spread open into attack position.
Does that mean that an F-14 has S-foils?
Nope. I'm going to say no.
They're more like T-foils because they're for takeoff. Anyone who built model airplanes as a child is laughing their ass off right now. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, for sure. They definitely are.
Quiet, you. That's...
if you say so.
That's about all we got. New Star Wars game in October.
Hurrah!
I think that's it. Yeah, we're done.
Woohoo. Zero, what the fuck are you going to do for the rest of your birthday?
Well,
you play some GTA or what?
I may jump into GTA, you know, just to dick around and blow shit up.
No, you blow shit up in GTA? That happens? I just thought it was for a hacker.
If I lived within driving distance of you, I'd drive to your house and punch you square in the throat right now. Smart ass.
I certainly don't blow things up. I'm very tactical and silent in that game.
You've murdered me in that game almost as much as Freligator has.
I'm sorry, how did you just deliver that with a straight face?
How do you know a straight face? Are you staring at my camera right now?
Maybe I am. A gentleman in all things.
So to backtrack a little bit, apparently S-foils are not unique to the X-Wing, but it's also the name for the B-Wing wings and any other ships in the Star Wars universe that have movable wings. And there is no official reason for why they need to move at all, but the current fan theory that seems to be somewhat well-received by nerds on Reddit is that the hyperdrive's power consumption is not based just on mass, of the ship that it is moving, but also the volume of the bubble it is forced to create. So the movable S-foils are a way of reducing the volume of the hyperdrive bubble that it needs to create to go to hyperspace.
Didn't X-Wings not have hyperdrive until the second movie?
Not sure.
I believe you are correct on that.
But I don't think they ever use it in the first one, but they never say it doesn't have the capability. if that makes sense.
The other thing is that they made the first movie, they didn't really know that they were going to make a next movie. They weren't, like, guaranteed to do that. It was George Lucas pushing all the marketing and getting all the product placement out there, and also the Star Wars Holiday Special, which everyone prefers not to talk about. That's what kicked the second movie in. So I think by then they were just like, yeah, you know what? We don't need carrier ships for all these things. We want Luke to go from Hoth to Dagobah, and we want him to go alone. So X-Files have hyperdrive now.
Sounds like a solid explanation to me.
It's fine. It's science fiction. You can do whatever.
Yep, sure.
Science fiction.
Anybody, while Omega is doing a deep dive down into Star Wars fandom, anyone see the latest Guy Ritchie movie that came out, The Gentleman?
No, I did not.
I have not.
I mean, I saw that it's a movie, but I haven't seen it.
It's a movie with Matthew McConaughey. He's dreamy.
McConaughey?
McConaughey.
All right.
He's a good guy. No, Guy Ritchie's got an interesting cinematic style coming out. He also directed The Man from U.N.C.L.E. a couple years ago with Henry Cavill and What's-His-Face and What's-Her-Face? Alicia Vikander.
So, them's people.
Talk about directors that have their own cinematic style, like Quentin Tarantino or the guy who did Royal Tenenbaums and the Grand Budapest Hotel. I can't remember his name ever. But yeah, Guy Ritchie is developing his own style, and I like it.
Good for him.
So did you watch it, The Gentleman?
Yes, I did.
So it was good?
I thought it was a very entertaining story. So yeah, I'd say go watch it. Yeah.
I shall watch it then.
Even though it had Colin Farrell in it, who I don't particularly care for. I thought he did a good job. Do you remember when he was Bullseye in the Daredevil movie?
Yes.
We don't speak of that movie.
Is Daredevil part of the Marvel or the DC universe?
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I was asking.
It's not. No, okay. Wait a minute.
Marvel. Wait
a minute. No, Gobi, he was asking me. You shut your mouth.
I only know it from not, the movie.
It is not part of any of the universes, as it was not sold to Disney, thank God, because that movie was a cinematic, and pardon the expression, a cinematic abortion, and it was terrible.
Ben Affleck just started crying uncontrollably somewhere in the world.
Good.
Poor man. He tried. Jennifer Garner got to be in a midriff dress for like half that movie.
And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, the movie did have its upsides, guys. They were few and far between, but they were definitely there.
What's that? Pat Liano? What's his name? Is it Joe Pat Liano? I think it's his name. The guy who played the reporter, the bald guy.
I mean, remember? I don't really remember all that much of it, other than the stupid tank that he slept in, and Gardner was Elektra.
Okay, now I've pulled it up. Who are we talking about? I was trying to remember. Michael Clark Duncan was in this movie as William Fisk / the Kingpin,
which actually was brilliant casting, because if anybody could play that character, it was him.
Michael Clark Duncan pretty much nailed any single role that he was in. Yeah, he was fantastic. True. We miss him.
Now, I'm not going to lie. Vincent D'Onofrio did a very good job as Wilson Fisk in the Netflix show, because he played the character his way, which, you know, made sense, and it actually rang true to the original Kingpin character, whereas Michael Clark Duncan's rang closer to the newer age version of Kingpin.
Oh, I totally forgot. You know who else was in Daredevil? John Favreau.
No.
Oh, he was. He played God, who did he play?
Franklin Foggy Nelson.
Ah, that, yeah, he did.
John Favreau.
He's got one of the best last names ever. I really enjoy saying it. That didn't come across. But yeah,
what's
so
the name again?
It's Marvel, right? It's totally Marvel.
Yeah, it's Marvel, but Marvel. It's not MCU.
There's no difference. It's Marvel.
No, there is a difference.
I hope that that was included in your marathon a couple weeks ago, because if not,
it
Ben Affleck is even more sad. Come on,
good,
buddy.
Good. I hope he's sad. I want him to be sad. He should be sad for that movie.
What about Green Lantern?
That's DC.
Green
what
Lantern?
To me right now.
I'm just trying to get a rise out of you.
Are you trying to make my head explode? What are you doing?
What about the spin-off movie that Jennifer Garner got called Elektra? That's Marvel.
It is, but we don't speak of it because it's garbage.
Okay, and the last one that you're going to have to try to help me out here with is Ghost Rider. Marvel or DC?
I think I'm done for the night. I think I'm just going to go die. Because I love Nicolas Cage. He over-exaggerates everything, and it's fucking amazing. But no, it was fucking awful.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I personally, Eva Mendes, but she was like the worst part of it.
Gobi's cutting out, but what he was trying to say is that he worships Eva Mendes and wants her feet in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Leetness.
Now I sound like a foot worshiper.
Leetness, your thoughts on Eva Mendes?
I would put my penis in it.
Thank you.
I mean, you could ask pretty much any straight guy that question, and that would be the answer.
That's true.
I mean, factual statement, but that's beside the point.
So this has been an entertaining roundtable. Actually, we don't really have a roundtable. Favorite Marvel movies. Mine is going to be Daredevil.
Oh, Ragnarok.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
Why? Because Cate Blanchett, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with Cate Blanchett, and there's ain't nothing wrong with Cate Blanchett in a form-fitting suit. Just throwing that out there.
I don't think that Cate Blanchett was ever as attractive as when she played Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan?
Yeah, look it up.
Okay.
I wasn't going to ask questions. I was just going to let that one slide.
But, let's see, your mine? I mean, I've got a couple, but I would say if it's my all-time favorite, it would have to be the first Iron Man movie, because that's the one that started it all.
That was good.
What's Marvel?
Oh, shut up, Gary.
Good question.
I did Guardians of the Galaxy, too.
Yeah, Guardians was good.
I have not watched a single one of the movies put out by Marvel Studios.
You haven't seen Daredevil or one of the Hulk movies, maybe?
I think he's. Oh. I seriously believe that Doc is just trying to get us to rehash the conversation we had the other day about this.
No. And Liv Tyler, that Hulk movie. Which one is that?
That would be the first one
with Eric
Edward
Bana.
Norton.
Oh, Edward Norton. Okay.
Yeah, I saw the Edward Norton Hulk video. I didn't see the Eric Bana one.
That's Canada. That's Marvel.
So there's
Cannon
two
right there.
Of them, right, with Edward Norton?
No, there's one with Edward Norton, one with Eddie Baby, and one with Eric Bana.
Eric Bana was one of my favorite actors when he was from Chopper. I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie, but...
I didn't see that. He was one of my favorite actors in Troy.
The only good Hulk is Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, and that's just because he plays Bruce Banner better than anybody on the planet.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Infinity Saga. I haven't seen any of the Iron Man movies.
It still drives me nuts when people say saga. It's not a saga. It's not Norse, nor is it a poem.
That's what it's called on the Wikipedia page of the list of Marvel Cinematic Universe films that I am currently looking at to see if I've seen any of them. So
that was written by somebody who really wishes that it was epic.
I've seen literally the first Hulk movie, and that's it. I'm not into superhero movies.
Ruffalo needs his own like Hulk movie because he hasn't had a solo Hulk one. And no offense, but right now the only ones we have are the Edward Norton ones, and we could probably use Hulk movie.
You will not see a Mark Ruffalo Hulk movie simply because Disney, after seeing how bad the first two Hulk movies performed, they're not going to do a standalone Hulk movie with Ruffalo because it would be just as bad and it would tank just as hard.
Well, they're not doing it now, period, because they're done with that whole generation. They've thrown out everybody who's in, like, the Avengers movies. They're just done with that. Now they're passing it on to a younger... They're trying to pass the torches on to younger actors who can be in more franchises and carry that on. So they're done with Mark Ruffalo. Sorry, Mark Ruffalo. Because he's probably the best actor in, you know, any of those movies. Best human being, anyway. I was trying to remember the movie The Danish Girl. If anybody likes Eddie Redmayne, you can see him play a woman in The Danish Girl.
He did a good job in Les Miserables. Les Mis.
Yes, he did. He also did a great job in The Theory of Everything.
Yep. We can talk... The one thing Sophie brought up, we can talk about quick. It's Niggle's favorite game in the whole world. So No Man's Sky is apparently adding crossplay.
Oh.
Because their multiplayer is so amazing. Yeah,
crossplay for the multiplayer that doesn't fucking exist? What a fucking shit game. God damn it.
The problem is it's not. That's the problem with it. They built it as a multiplayer game, but it had multiplayer thrown on as an afterthought. And we talked about that to death in this podcast before. Since that debacle, they have done everything right for a video game, except never addressed the core problem, which is there's not really multiplayer. So if they would just fix the core game, this thing would be in a brilliant position, but they're not going to do that because they probably have to tear the whole thing apart and just remarket it and might as well make No Man's Sky 2.
Exactly. That's what they said, was that like it was at a point where to actually integrate true multiplayer, they would have to start more or less from scratch. And they already made their nut. They fucking made $1 billion on it, so they don't give a shit. They're not going to do that.
That's sad. Yeah, Sophie did post this, though. Introducing crossplay for No Man's Sky. Hello, everyone!
When you said Dr. Niggle's favorite game, I thought you were going to mention Honey Pop.
I haven't played that in so long. You're right, I need to go back. I need to start that. When he said my favorite game, I thought he was going to talk about Warframe! Warframe just had the Deadlock Protocol release this past week. Yeah, last week, and it's a brand new in-game
cool
quest.
As shit. Cardia is the new Warframe they released. I just pulled her out of the foundry today, started playing with her, and she's got some weird, like, time shifty kind of moves and stuff, and it's pretty deep.
I've got her as well. I haven't actually started playing her yet. I look forward to that. But yeah, there is an entirely new Warframe. There's a new game mode. Remaster of the Corpus ships. There are a smattering of new weapons, one of which you get through the main quest. So yeah, that's kind of the high point in this whole thing. The new Warframe, and there's a new quest for you to do with some more lore around the game.
Yeah, apparently the new weapons are kind of meh. Yeah, you know, people who jumped on really quick, and a lot of the YouTubers and whatnot who do this kind of thing, they've torn them apart and top to bottom, and they're not terrible. Well, the whichever one, the gunblade, the secondary gunblade, I think the Strofa, that's apparently terrible. But the Warframe Protea is pretty fucking cool. I have no idea how to use her yet, but I mean, lots of pretty lights and swirling colors and neat stuff. So that's really what we play the game for anyway.
It's true. So yeah, there's the Deadlock Protocol live now, and it should be coming to consoles fairly quickly. They're using the PC crowd as guinea pigs, as usual.
Well, with that, I think it's my time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's 9 the PM, only... and it's time for Leetness to go to bed.
Oh, yeah. Damn. You don't want to talk about Division 2 Title Update 10 patch that's coming out?
I would rather stuff a fresh cucumber entirely in my urethra.
yeah. Well, for those of you that are actually interested and whatever, the patch notes are fucking insanely long. There's an entire... There's one whole post that's a complete forum post of bug fixes that's coming in Title Update 10, so... I would not
be... You know that's a problem when the patch notes are that long because people who play the Division 2 can't read.
Well, there's one whole post of
damn
improvements and upgrades and all that stuff, and then another one of bug fixes because, yeah, you know, people that play a game can't read. Oh, wait, don't you own Div 2, so you can't read either?
Yes, all of the 45 minutes of playtime that I have in that game are quite indicative of my love of the game.
I feel stupider from the time that I spent in it.
The game that I bought on sale for, was it $2 when it went on that? Or no, or was it just straight up for, no, it was like $2 or $3.
$3. Yes.
I wanted people to get the expansion that they were just about to drop. And I got through the first mission and I was like, wow, this is basically Division 1, but stupid. So I went back to not playing it.
Harsh words for a man who got scammed out of $3.
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
I mean, in his defense, I mean, he did only play the first mission, so he's judging the whole game on one mission. Just saying.
But you've said that too, Gobi. It is basically the Division 1, except for it's in DC, it's summertime, and it's not as pretty. And also, didn't two patches ago or something, like, break the bullet sponge system where it was, or broke the cover system? Everyone was such a bullet sponge that they just walked up to you in cover and annihilated you and you were dead.
Yeah, they fixed that in the last patch, and they addressed it even more in this patch. They're buffing basically every single weapon. They're giving the players more health. They're addressing the bullet sponginess. They did a giant balance pass since the expansion came out. Like, this was their first patch since the expansion came out, so there's a lot of bug fixes that they had and stuff, and, you know, obviously new content for the second season that starts on the 25th or 26th of this year, this month. And the healing pad trap is the whatever you get at the end of the season when you beat all 5 agents. Yeah,
I know Bomb Tank and Nighthawk don't actually like listen to this podcast, but they would probably be screaming in frustration at this point. But I do want to know what happened to legendary weapons as well, because those got nerfed. Are they not nerfed anymore?
Exotics got they got buffed again and changed. They've been kind of in a flux. They're trying to make them useful, but they went to the whole Destiny system of exotic weapons, and I'm not a huge fan of that. So you can only have one exotic weapon and one exotic gear piece equipped at a time.
Zero, exotic, do you know what this Destiny is that he's
Division
talking about?
One with first.
Yes, they've switched to an awful fucking system that fucking sucks because Bungie's a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
Are we talking about the new DLC or whatever that's coming out for Destiny 2?
Oh, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about them giving players what they've been asking for since day fucking one in Destiny.
No XP caps.
Well, that, and which they're not doing. But they are finally allowing players to use darkness abilities, which is about time, but apparently it's only one class can change over to darkness abilities instead of being able to switch your entire fucking character, which is dumb. I think if you want to play a darkness character, play a fucking darkness character. Don't limit the fucking way that people play. It's retarded. Bungie's fucking retarded. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. I wish that when COVID-19 happened, that it just would have shut the studio down permanently.
God damn.
Damn.
Wow.
All right, guys. I'm going to call it. I'll,
Sorry, Lee.
It's been real. Going out on a positive note, Leetness, I hope you enjoy your sausage and lamb and wagyu.
Thanks.
Bye, Leetness.
Bye, Leetness. And that about does it for the podcast, I think. Yeah, Gobi, want to take us out?
Yeah, actually, it was just funny. I was reading up on No Man's Sky to see how much it changed. Apparently, there has been some, I don't know how major changes to the multiplayer, but there have been some changes in the last 6 months, but not significant changes. Apparently, you can now turn off friendly fire because there was friendly fire.
I mean, unless they integrate like full teams where you share bases and you share motherships and capital ships or whatever, and like all of that is literally like you are on a team in a faction together.
And turn off the fucking mechanic where if you go into a base to like get a blueprint or something, only the person who activates the console gets the blueprint, even if your friend is standing right next to you.
Do you not remember the first days of Wildlands when we had to do that shit with all those fucking containers and it took them like...
That's the thing.
2 years
in Wildlands, the reason that was not a total pain in the ass or game breaking is because you could mark the container and then step away, and then I could mark the container. In No Man's Sky, Omega can claim the blueprint, and then when he steps away from the console isn't active anymore because someone has claimed the blueprint, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, that's awesome. apparently, you can board your. Anyone can board your freighter, but starships are off limits. I don't know the difference in the game, so I'm not really sure what they're talking about.
Oh, the starship is like literally. I think that's literally like a little ship that you fly around in. But your freighter is like a mothership or whatever.
Okay, the little one makes sense because it's a one man ship. Like, there's only one fucking seat. Okay, so that kind of makes sense. But yeah, they should at least have like a ship that you can both ride in to go down to the planet, so you can both have to ride down.
The other thing I bet that isn't in there, they didn't fix it so that you can have more than one freighter in a system at a time. Because you can't right now. Only one freighter in the system at a time. Even if you're friends with the dude who's trying to come in. Won't let him.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I kind of feel like you don't need, like, if you're in a faction, you have your freighter. Cool, you've got a freighter. Like, that's your faction's freighter. Do you need multiple freighters? If they make an interesting reason to have multiple freighters for a same faction, cool, that'd be great. But, like, a freighter is basically a mothership. It's got a landing bay for, like, a dozen ships. It can warp from system to system. So, like, God, if they just fucking made that game right from the beginning, it would be, like, the perfect game for me. And I would imagine Doc and I would have like 3,000 fucking hours in it by now. But it's instead, we put like we put 10, 15 hours into it, and we're just like, this is so fucking dumb. It's so close to being amazing, but
it's so far away at the same time.
You hit the nail on the head, Doc. The worst part was like, yeah, I've got this blueprint, but fuck you, you don't get it.
I have 27 hours in the game, and yeah, I have over 2,000 in Space Engineers. I would have over 2,000 in No Man's Sky if it actually had multiplayer instead of an afterthought.
Exactly. And, like, that's saying something when, like, as broken as so many elements of Space Engineers were...
Still are.
You and I were so into it for so long and played it so much together, but, like, that's how... unconducive to multiplayer
gameplay No Man's Sky is. That, like, you and I fucking love space games. We love space building games. We love exploring and flying around and doing all that shit. And it's like, come the fuck on. You're so close.
It's frustrating because the spaceships in it are actually really pretty cool. And yeah, getting back to the freighter thing, it should be a mothership. It should be for the whole faction. It should be for you and your friends. But only you have a spawn point on your freighter. If your friend dies, they don't go back to the freighter. They go back to the planet. And if their ship is on your freighter, they're fucked.
Yep. How, like, come on.
That's... What?
Yeah, so that's the state of No Man's Sky. Those are the issues that Omega and I have with it that we've talked about on this podcast before. And from this point forward, we swear on Atheismo's head that we will never talk about No Man's Sky again.
Until somebody else brings it up.
Until Gobi brings it up. Because Gobi brings it up. I know, when I bring out Marvel, that's how to get a rise out of Zero. When Gobi brings out No Man's Sky, that's how he knows how to get a rise out of me.
Oh, you mean I don't have to talk about Warframe?
No, not at all. I love Warframe. Want to talk about Warframe? Let's talk about Warframe. I'll put the splash back. There we go.
The space ninjas.
What do you want to know about Warframe? Absolutely nothing.
Is the podcast still happening?
Apparently so. We're still going.
Well, since we're going on Warframe, Doc, I'll tell you one awesome thing that I was doing with Protea. I've got a conditioned overload melee weapon, and Protea has her two skill sets everything on fire, and her one skill puts slash procs on everything, so that's two bonus status procs that you get before you even start hitting people with your fucking melee weapon, and it just slaughters shit.
How tanky is she?
Well, right now she is still unformed, and I put a reactor in her, and I've got all three of the tanky mods on her. And I did like a 20-minute Orican Axie survival and had no trouble staying alive. I don't know what she's going to look like once she's actually fully built or like fully modded and whatnot.
But is it worth slapping armor mods on her?
I mean, long term, probably not. Actually, her armor was not highest. Her shields are highest.
Okay.
So long term, no. But I just did that because it's literally just like the very beginning, where I just pulled her out of the foundry. So you know, you just slap the survivability mods and go hit stuff with a hammer until you get up to 30, and then you can actually start building her in a proper way. But she's fun.
Interesting.
It's kind of cool. The skills are kind of fun. I enjoy it.
I gotta level her up and see what she can do. Alrighty. So, yeah, we're right. at hour
Let's
7.
Let's get the fuck out of here so y'all can go join Zero in GTA, since apparently he's already there.
Oh, look at that.
So, yep. Alright, well, thank y'all for joining us. Thank y'all for joining. Peace out.
Later.
See ya.
Penis.